It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Mr. Pryor.
Yes. How are you, Mark?
Really good. But this has been a very strange year, and you want to talk about the old-fashioned Christmases that maybe we remember and maybe keep those memories alive, because we need something to keep us going in 2020.
Yeah, I was also thinking of old-fashioned Christmas as not in the traditional sense of thinking of the old-fashioned Christmas, but the old-fashioned Christmas way back in the beginning.
You mean like Jesus?
Like Jesus time and after. So I want to reflect on that a bit. But yes, finally, 2020, almost over. And
a lot of people wanted to have Christmas back in July, I think. They wanted to get the men just counting the days to when this year was over.
Yeah.
It's been a tough year.
Commenting to people, too. In some ways, yes, this year has been forever. And in some ways, because we've missed out on so many of the things that we would normally do, it just seems like it's in some ways flown by. It's just been, you know, like a great big giant flu virus thing and not much else. But so we're wrapping it up. And I think a lot of people now are wondering how to pull some pieces together and have an enjoyable Christmas in light of all the irregularities. And even, you know, is it possible? There's so much. I don't need to go into it. You know, families are going to be, you know, separated. We kind of did maybe a test run on Thanksgiving. People, you know, kind of trying to figure out. And I kind of shared with you a little bit about the Thanksgiving that we had with some of our relatives and the tension that was there just because of
disagreements about
things.
COVID stuff.
Yeah,
and it's strange how much that is separating families. You're not serious enough, or you're too serious, or you know.
And as we were talking about, it seems suspiciously down political lines.
Why is
rather
that?
Than
why?
Rather why, than scientific
why would a,
lines.
Why would a pandemic become political?
Yeah.
It baffles me.
Yeah, but it seems clear that that's the locus of the attention is more so than the scientific part of it. There.
Yeah.
Even the numbers, both sides are using the same numbers, but they're not reading them the same. So, and whether or not it's possible to pull something together for Christmas here, I want to make some suggestions later on. But of course, a lot of factors come into the equation, and some of them are practical and emotional. Practical factors, as in where at whose house and how are we going to arrange this? I was talking to some people the other day who had Thanksgiving and kind of like these, they had some family come, but they had them kind of quarantined off in little
their own kids'
portables here and there. Yeah, little tents here and there. So they would come into the kitchen and get served and then go out and get into it's not exactly, as we were talking before the show, we don't have a lot of options. So, the alternative is, you know, let this thing overcome us and destroy the season, or find a way to focus and use what we've got, use the tools that we have to make this and focus on, the fact that, you know, God knows where we're at. He knows what's going on in the world, and it's serving His purpose. So, rather than look at the glass half empty, let's try to focus on, you know, where is the treasure in all this that God wants us to find? And I think there is one, but we can't help but have regrets about the year. And
well, there's a lot of emotional baggage. You make a statement on your notes here saying a lot of baggage, anger for being controlled, having life altered, micromanaged by total strangers and without evident justification.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much sums it up.
And I think as I experienced to some degree, people don't want to get over it and move on. In fact, at some level, I resent the fact that somebody's saying, "Oh, you know, just get over it. It's the new norm." I don't want it to be the new norm. I don't want to get over it and move on. You know, we're mad and we want to have our day in court, but. And then for many, there's a whole other dimension of anxiety, depression, and sadness due to loss, because there has been loss of life and loss of family connections and that kind of. So underlying all of that, I think, as well as the reality of present circumstances are so counterculture. And I wanted to kind of make a pivot here and talk about how, you know, we kind of stand back and look at why do we seem so out of sorts? I know I've been in touch with people in other countries lately, one Pakistan in particular, and talking to them. They're coming up on Christmas time. And, you know, Christmas there in Pakistan is a lot different than it is here because Christians there are not.
They celebrate Christmas?
They can't openly celebrate Christmas. Yeah. It depends on where you're at. But some areas in Pakistan is one of the most heavily persecuted areas for Christians in the world. Yeah. You know, and so, they're in lockdown, plus double lockdown because they've got the COVID thing going on there too. But then they've always had Christmas has always been a time where they've had to kind of hunker down and focus in on the reality of, you know, what is this really about? And for them, in a lot of places in the world, it's never been about loads of gifts under the tree and new games to play and trips and things. It's been about something more real, more eternal. So I think that one of the things that we want to try to do this year is take advantage of the lockdown and just say, you know, This is an opportunity for us to kind of prune back some of our Western way of looking at things and our ways of thinking about things, our dependencies on amusements and things, and try to focus on the core of Christmas, maybe in a way that we haven't been able to for a while.
Well, I know for us, that's We go out all the time to eat. Before COVID, we go to a lot of live musical events, of course, church events.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Our whole life revolved around all the things that we used to love. We love to do are now done, and so it's been hard.
Yeah,
you know, and you can only watch TV and do Zoom meetings so much. Yeah. You know, so
yeah, that's one of the options that's open to us. But as you point out, a lot of people are kind of some people are just burnt out on that.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, in a lot of these ways, the ways that in our Western ways of thinking, Christians are not much different than non-believers in what we've come to rely on in terms of, amusements. So what I'd like to encourage us to do is to kind of just step back and take a moment to reflect on the daily reality in the other cultures, as I've mentioned before, and really the history of Christianity and the history of the celebration of Christ, how for so long in the beginning of church history, it wasn't the sort of thing that Christians could be open about. They wanted to celebrate, but, and my understanding, in fact, part of the reason that the December 25th, I could be wrong here, there are various viewpoints on this, but part of the reason that December 25th was chosen is because it was a time in Rome during a lot of persecutions of Christians when the Romans were celebrating a pagan holiday and they were all drunk.
Distracted.
And distracted. Mm-hmm. And so it was a time that Christians could get together without being suspect.
Mm-hmm.
So there, in other cultures and other times, there have always been these heavy-handed restrictions, and yet, and here we might even think of ourselves as being in a similar time today. So, stepping back and looking at, considering those times and asking ourselves, where was the focus? Where was the joy? It's evolved into something much different now.
At least people were able to get together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, you can't even get together.
Yeah.
You know, in person, and you can't have a meal together or, you know, it's. So it's almost a unique kind of isolation that we're facing today.
Yeah, and I'm sure that historically there have been times and places where people couldn't even get together. You look at the, out of fear of death, China has always been very and North Korea, North some Korea, of these places yeah. where you know even attempt. I mean, the underground churches have to even be careful. But imagine those different times and different places. You know, early Christians didn't have rapid transit, didn't have buses, didn't have cars, didn't have bicycles, and they didn't in generally venture very far from their homes. So they lived a very different life style. We've been kind of thrust into that kind of a lifestyle somewhat lately. And so as you were bringing out, even gathering together is difficult. I know my wife at work has had to use Zoom. Of course, I'm doing some Skype counseling, but about half of my counseling is still people coming to the office. So it hasn't been a complete pivot or paradigm shift. But I know in her work, a lot of it's become virtual. And for some people, they're a little bit burnt out on virtual life.
I am.
And other people.
I mean, radio, it's by its nature, is kind of virtual. So it's like I hunger for that real connection and real face to face.
Yeah, and for other people, I know we tried to she tried to encourage her parents to connect with us. They're on the East Coast to connect with us via Skype or Facebook to have a quote unquote cocktail hour. Just to, chat and talk. And, her parents got particularly her dad got very angry that we were trying to push new technology on them. Yeah. And so she was trying to do them a favor, but they just didn't want to step into that. And a lot of people, I have friends my age, not as old as my in-laws, but my age who are just resistant to stepping into that. But, we have to work. This is the thing. We're going to have to work with what we have. And so the alternative is to
get angry,
cancel it and say cancel Christmas this year,
cocoon even more.
But I think there are some gifts in Christmas this year if we can get our focus right. You know, when we come back, let's talk a little bit for a short time about some of the favorite Christmases that we've had, because I think that that'll help us to. We've got a surprise when we come back.
Okay. So. Well, people are listening today, and they heard you talk about counseling. You do still doing in-person counseling, also Skype counseling if people want to get some resources online. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, so the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Yes, Skype, FaceTime, and also the offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And people also email me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel and I talking about how to get through the very strange Christmas season. And Daniel, you think you have some answers here on what might we can do differently this year that might help.
Well, I have some suggestions, and I kind of brainstormed with my wife, Jane, on this because, as I said before the break, in her work, she's been doing a lot of Zoom and virtual things. As a matter of fact, it was a bit of a challenge this year. Every fall, she's responsible for raising quite a chunk of money in a gala that they have. And, of course, with these galas, people drink a lot and give a lot of money. Well, if you can't do that, how much money are you going to raise? Yeah. So they set a bar there, and it was just crossing their fingers, to just attempt something. And it took a lot of energy for the MC to be virtual you know, you can't generate the kind of energy virtually that you can in a room of people who are half crocked. So, but they had to work with what they had. And so, so I have some suggestions, and maybe some of you out there, I'm sure that you've been thinking this through. What can we do? What can we do? You know what I'd like to do, though, kicking this off, Mark, is to talk for a few minutes about some of yours and some of my favorite Christmases, favorite Christmas gifts or memories. Things that stand out in my mind were not necessarily huge, amazing gifts, but ironically, some of the more mundane and just family things.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I must say I do have one that was characterized by a lot of gifts. All of our family, both grandparents, both sides of the family, we all got together for Christmas, and my sister and I just got more stuff than I'd ever gotten.
Oh, wow.
I still remember that. But I would think that, I think the overall feeling that I had about Christmas was it was the only time of year where we would all get together at the dinner table and have a meal together, because our family was so kind of all doing their own thing, or we'd all watch TV while we ate. And so it was like the only time of year we could get Dad and Mom at the same table, and we'd play a game and some of these things. And that was, we just totally enjoyed that. Yeah. More recently, I think probably a favorite Christmas was when my wife asked my wife to marry me. I put her engagement ring in the bottom of the stocking.
Oh, clever you.
She pulled that out of there. And so I do think most of it does revolve around, there was times, that was the time of year where you could count on family being close.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah, for me, it was, of course, school was out, and so there was no homework to do. So there was a great relief. Not that I did it anyway, but there was always the pressure that I should have done it, so at least during Christmas. Most of our larger gifts were typically used. My parents did a lot of shopping at St. Vincent de Paul or the Goodwill.
Okay.
But I can remember a bicycle that I got one year, just a single speed, but you know, it had narrow wheels and curved handlebars, and I was just felt like an amazing.
Did you believe in Santa pretty long, or did you know the
I knew pretty, you know, I when my first Christmas that I recall, I must have been something like 2 years old or so, not more than three, and my parents for a year had been helping take care of an orphanage, so we were in the orphanage with the other kids, and I received with my brother, who was a year older, a little wind-up car, and that and a couple of other things, a sweater and it. So, and I knew those came from my parents. There was never, My daughter one time when she was young, it was rolling up on Christmas. I think it was after Turkey Day or something, and I was out working in the yard, and she was standing there, and she was looking up at the chimney, and I could see the wheels turning.
Okay.
So the chimney was about a 12-inch diameter.
How does Santa get down there?
Anyway, so she figured out it wasn't Santa, and then she went and told her neighbor friends, and their parents gave us a phone call and really bawled us out for ruining Christmas.
Yeah, I think my sister believed in Santa longer than I did, and I think I got bawled out for kind of saying, you know.
Yeah.
Santa is really Mom and Dad, and she was really upset. I think I might have gotten a spanking for that. I can't remember.
Yeah. But I remember pulling taffy. I remember sewing popcorn together into strings to put around the tree. So we didn't have things that we bought. And I think that's one of the things that's changed a lot of things here, where Christmas has been less about pulling together as a family and creating things, and just more about buying things and putting them on the tree. When I loved the looks of professional lights on the tree, but there was something, as a child, there was something about the process of putting it together that was very meaningful and fundamental in the whole sense of Christmas. And that gave us time to focus on the Christmas story, Christmas music, while you're sitting there sewing the popcorn together and concentrating on that, not getting your finger stuck with the needle. And then at the same time, there was Christmas music. or a Christmas show on the, and so you were just, you know, you were drinking hot chocolate and things like that. And it wasn't about what you were getting, but it was about what you were doing. And,
yeah, our family also, my mom was not religious. I was not raised in a Christ honoring home, but she loved Christmas and loved to go out and do caroling, singing all these carols around the neighborhood. And we were the only family I knew of who did carol parties and going around singing carols. And my mom led that. So, who knew? Yeah. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. Well, those were enjoyable times, and oddly, it for me it was the simple things, and I don't know if we can get back there again, but maybe we're forced to a little bit under the circumstances. Mm-hmm. So I you know, just to list off a few things, and people may have thought of these. Or thought of other things, but I think the focus or my point here that I'm trying to drive home is just the idea of we have a choice between letting Christmas go this year or realizing that maybe there's a treasure in the field here, maybe there's something that it can make this one of the most special Christmases that we've ever had. God knows our circumstances, but he's bigger than the circumstances, and there must be something in this Christmas year that can be very special, if nothing more than to take us back to a time when all Christians lived much more like this,
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about, we've talked about, we want to focus our kids away from gifts and more toward the giving of ourselves. I would like to see us encourage creativity this year. A lot of this stuff can be done virtual, and if you're resistant to that, maybe you could just give this a shot. Most families have a family member or know someone that could help them set up something simple and virtual with a Skype or FaceTime or something where you could at least join with family members or friends for a period of time. For something. So I envision in some families a creativity where the members, the young people and the members are doing something creative, maybe a creation theme. Maybe it's an arts and crafts thing that they want to show virtually, or maybe it's a piece of music that they want to share virtually.
We did something here at work. We did kind of like name that emoji, kind of the different pictures together and aligned, and tell what Christmas song is this spelling out with emojis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was a blast.
Yeah, it's part of the reason that I wanted to do this Christmas show before next week was to give people a couple of weeks if some of these things sound like they might give it a try to you'll have some time to work up to this instead of just a couple of days. But yeah, I had that idea of the emoji. A lot of people, not everyone, but different phone systems or whatever, you can create an emoji for yourself. And so a lot of people have these and, you can dress them up in different ways. And, but something creative about the Christmas scene or the Christmas theme. And also taking time, as we've begun to do a little bit in the earlier part of the show here, to reflect on the lives of earlier Christians. Maybe there are short stories, or maybe testimonies of in your family history of earlier Christmases and what those might have been like in different parts of the world, or even early Christmases. Maybe there's a story to share or something to share about Christmases at earlier times when things were more simple. Hmm. What about reading the biblical account of the Advent from Luke 2? When mm-hmm. I was in school, we memorized that Luke 2, and parts of that still come back to mind.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. There's sharing testimonies, as we've done here earlier, virtually sharing testimonies. You can virtually share the meal.
Now, how do you do that?
So it gets
you take a bite. I take a bite.
Some of these are more complex than others. But it was like with the virtual fundraising, people were free to text one another, or if you have like a Skype thing on where you're actually able to see the other family eating, you can carry on a conversation, not having the same food, but you can carry on the conversation. Mm. Oh, you may want to do that, you may not, you know, and you may, and people may have more complex systems that they can set something up. Use what's available to you. I talked about being creative, virtually sharing music, whether it's performed or
sing carols.
Virtually singing carols. You mm-hmm. can do that via Skype and mm-hmm. some of these other ways. The point would be to endeavor to make the day more focused on Christ and relationship than on our usual amusements. And once again, God must have a purpose in this for us this Christmas, and we just need to look at what are our options, what are our tools, rather than just throwing out the baby with the baby bath. This is a very special time of year, and it could even be more special this time of year than it has been in the past mm-hmm. if we focus correctly.
Okay, some ways to get through this very strange year and our Christmas celebrations this time of year. People have all kinds of emotions this time of year, maybe need some extra counseling help. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find these podcasts and several other years of podcasts. Also, I do Skype. We have to set that up, Skype or FaceTime. I do both of those. Offices in Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.